Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to welcome you this evening to a city council meeting. This is an action meeting on July 9th, 2025, and it is 5:30 p.m. The meeting is being held at the council chambers at 10 North Main Street in Cedar City, Utah. We're honored to have the director, Greg Powell, with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Canyon Country Communications Council. Pretty good? To offer the invocation, after which I'll lead us in the pledge.
Thanks, Mayor. Our Father in heaven, as we bow our heads before thee this afternoon, at the beginning of this city council meeting, we express gratitude for Cedar City, Utah, and this beautiful area in which we find ourselves. We're grateful for this wonderful community, for those who live here and have built it, and for those who continue to come and find peace and find prosperity here in our midst. We're grateful for these elected officials and for these items that we have on the agenda this evening. Grateful for citizens that have come to this meeting with concerns and issues and things that they would like to see resolved. And we pray that there'll be a respectful conversation this evening, that there'll be great listening, that those who speak will be blessed to be able to express themselves in an articulate way so that this body can come to some positive and productive conclusions. We're grateful again for our not only our elected officials, but the great staff people who serve us here in this community, including our first responders. We pray for them and for their safety out in the field as they're out there every day fighting fires and keeping us safe. We're grateful for all of them and for their sacrifices. Again, Father, we pray that thou would bless this body and all our citizens as they come here this evening. With thy spirit, and we do so humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Follow me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We okay with the agenda as it is?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I think so. Mayor, I would...
Got to turn my mic on. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I would move that we approve this agenda for the action meeting for July 9th, 2025.
Second.
Oh. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. My comment today, I've spent the last 3 days at the Utah Shakespearean Festival, and I've seen the three plays in the Randall Theater, and I can tell you they are all very, very delightful. They are so, so well done. So professional, so amazing, and I think it's a real blessing and a treat. And if you want some really good entertainment, any one of the three are outstanding. I saw Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder today. I'd never seen it before. It's a musical, and I'm still thinking about the ending. I think I get it. I'll have to go watch it again to make sure. But anyway, come join us for that, to watch those. They're wonderful. I don't have anything else. Council members, I'm going to leave the gember all up to you.
Well, I want to thank you, Mayor, for your participation and for everyone who helped with the Korean Memorial on Sunday evening at 7:30. It was a very, very nice event, and I thought those young ambassadors from South Korea who spoke were so articulate and so sincere. I was deeply impressed with their eloquent manner of expressing themselves and their love of country and of their expression for this country. So, but I know you had a big hand in that, so I want to thank you and everyone who helped put that together and the Triple Deuce as well.
I hope we'll prepare and go back next year for the 75th anniversary of the Battle at Kapyong.
I want to do one here for the 75th too, Mayor.
All right.
I have two other things just real quickly, and both of these are involving nuisances, so I guess this is going to maybe fall. I don't know where the chief's out in the hallway. I don't know.
Jimmy.
I've had a couple of citizens reach out, and myself as well is aware of this. First one is the Verizon store right here on Main Street on that corner. It's just full of weeds and looks terrible. And it's right in our historic downtown, and we need to have them pony up and clean up their property. The other one, and I've had three different citizens reach out, It is on the corner of, I believe, it's on 3rd West. It's about 541 South, 300 West. I think Cedarwood Terrace or Cedar Terrace is right there. It's just they've got trailers, and they've got washing machines, and they've got, at any rate, and weeds very high all around it.
Yeah, it's okay. At the corner of 545 South is the intersection there.
Okay.
The street that goes down to Triple S Polaris.
If you'd look into those, I would appreciate it with code enforcement. Thank you. That's all I had, Mayor.
Thank you. Other council members? Robert?
I just want to give a shout-out for the July Jamboree. It's this Saturday. It's a very fun and excellent event. It supports the Rotary Club, which is an amazing service organization. You'll get to see a whole bunch of old classic cars, a bunch of Fords with Chevy engines in them, because, you know, they got something right. Anyway, that's a whole different story. But anyway, come support it. There's thousands of people that come, and there's vendors, and it supports a good cause. The Rotary Club has, you know, for some examples of their projects, the Veterans Memorial, ballparks, the water feature, and many other things, both here locally and throughout the world. So come and join us.
Thank you.
Will there be any old classic people there with the cars?
I'm sure there will be.
That there will be. Hand all in there.
Some there. Of them. Some of us will have white walls.
Yeah. Mayor, and I wasn't sure if you were going to do anything during the staff portion, but I just wanted to thank our fire department for our 4th of July, our fireworks. And we all left here last Wednesday thinking we were going to have a dud of a show, and it turns out it was not a dud of a show, and they worked hard and got us some more fireworks. So
they sent two guys to Vegas, and they sent two guys to somewhere Wyoming. In the middle of Wyoming.
Wyoming.
We always went to Wyoming to buy fireworks. Yeah.
I also wanted to...
And just for the public record, we have a license to be able to bring fireworks across state lines. We're allowed to do that, so...
We can.
The city can. Fire department can.
I also want to thank the Chamber of Commerce, Iron County Home Builders. Today was the First Responders Luncheon. Had a lot of our first responders there, and our police and Sheriff's Department and Fire Department and Gold Ambulance and a lot of folks that help EMTs, so...
The mayor's son cooked our lunch, even.
He didn't. It was pretty darn good. The brat was I had was very
good. The mayor's son cooked our lunch.
Willie, good
Jeff.
For him.
Which so
one?
I have nice lots lunch. Of sons. Jeff.
Okay, super.
So.
Thank you. Staff, Chief Adams? Or Rodden?
Chief Rodden, there you go.
Mayor, council, staff, thanks for having us tonight. Chief Adams is not here, so you give me... we're here today to introduce you to our newest code enforcement and our newest law enforcement officer, Officer Heather Connor and Seth Rogers. I'll tell you that Heather came to us through a very competitive recruitment. I think there was over 160 applicants
for
the code enforcement position. Now, granted, I think 40 showed up, but she still excelled and was chosen and graduated the special functions block of post yesterday. And so she has her first two assignments, thanks to Councilman Phillips. And we'll get her started on that. We'll let her introduce herself in just a second. And then we have Seth Rogers, who comes to us also through competitive recruitment. And he is attending Utah Tech Post in Hurricane. And he'll graduate in a couple of weeks. So we're very excited to have him. He comes from good stock. I know his family. And we're very excited to have both of them here. And I'll let them introduce themselves and their families.
Hi, I'm Heather Connor. I moved up here from Montana with my partner.
Heather, can you lower the mic just a little bit? There you go.
I moved up here from Montana with my partner, Preston, so he could pursue a pilot's license in helicopter school. I just finished a degree in physics, which sounds a lot more useful than it actually is. I'm really grateful to be part of this department, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. Do you have any family here?
No, they're all back in Montana.
Hello, my name's Seth Rogers. I just recently got out of the Marine Corps about 6 months ago. I was stationed in Camp Pendleton for 5 years. Me and my wife and my 10-month-old Stetson, we moved back to St. George. I'm originally from Santa Clara, grew up in that area, lived there most of my life. I'm here with my mom and dad and my sister.
Looks like your dad's a fellow man in blue.
I can't believe Rich let you join the Marine Corps, being an Army guy.
I wanted to be better.
Where's your dad an officer at?
Sorry.
Santa Clara.
Okay, very nice. Well, the bigger question is, are they going to let a St. George guy move to Cedar City? That's the question.
And we're definitely, for Cedar City. Definitely CPD. Want to move up here, so.
Great.
Excited to serve and protect and serve the citizens of this community.
Perfect. Heather, who's here with you? Did you have anybody here with you today?
No, they're in Montana.
Oh, there.
Oh,
hey. Oh, that's, hi. He matters. So he's
absolutely
here. You'll both face her that way.
Yeah, so family can get pictures and you can go wherever you want and take pictures.
As long as you get Scott in the background.
I'm going to move out the picture. One at a time.
Yeah, good idea. Go ahead. You want to go ahead and pin him. You stick it in there deep enough, we'll know you made it.
He'd be tough enough if he's an Army guy.
Oh, I missed it. You got to do it again. There you go.
You're going to come back up, Officer Rogers, so don't go anywhere.
I think code enforcement badge is tough.
Yeah. Tough job.
All right.
Now, if you'll come back up, Officer Connor and Officer Rogers, and just greet the council there.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Congratulations. Welcome.
Welcome.
I'm a little nervous.
Officer Rogers, thank you.
We won't tell all the secrets about him.
Is there anyone you don't know?
My wife asked me the same thing. I met complete strangers at gas stations in Iowa, and we're talking about fishing.
Thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you. Now, for public comments, we have someone here from the Youth Learning Service Learning 4-H. Yes, please, your turn. We don't have someone, we have a group.
This is our leadership group. I'm Sarah Dobrinsky, and these are our leaders. Do you want them to each introduce themselves? Or?
We'd like to.
Yes, please.
That'd be nice.
Hi, I'm McKinley Mitchell.
I'm Elizabeth Niles.
I'm Emma Niles.
I'm Alora Dobrinsky.
And I'm Addie Jorgensen.
They put together this slide just to kind of show what we've been doing for the last year, and we've been doing things yearly, but they wanted to definitely come and report to you guys. So McKinley's going to run the slideshow and show you what we've done.
Great.
No, you're good. Okay, so this is just kind of a report of all the things that we have been doing consistently within the community. So first, our total service hours year-to-date, we had 951 service hours in 2024. We have 553 so far in 2025. We have 32 active youth volunteers and 3 active adult volunteers. We have 5 ongoing service projects that are consistent month on a monthly basis. So we have the animal shelter, Stonehenge, Our House, Trash Attack, and scavenger hunts. And we'll get a little bit into more of the specifics on what those are.
Okay.
And then other service projects like the county fair, the pet fair, recycling, the 80s prom, Parowan Festival of Trees, Operation Christmas Child Shoeboxes, and our Kanab Best Friends trip. So for our monthly projects, typically we do weekly. We go to the animal shelter on Wednesdays, typically, the Cedar City Animal Shelter. We help socialize the animals and do other things there to help the staff out. Then we do Stonehenge, where we go and hang out with the residents and do crafts with them. Our house, kind of a similar thing as Stonehenge. And then scavenger hunts, we go door-to-door and ask for canned goods to donate to our local food pantry. We just did one yesterday.
That's a heck of a scavenger hunt.
Right? We have fun doing those ones. And then recycling, we're trying to bring recycling back to Cedar City. So we're doing lots of work right now with Recyclops to try to bring that back, as well as tie blankets. And then Trash Attack is where we go clean up local public areas that we notice lots of trash at. So that picture in the middle is a before, and that picture all the way to the right is an after. As far as annual projects, we do these typically once a year. We have our Best Friends Kanab trip. We just did that one in June. That was our first annual one. We're hoping to go back again. We had lots of fun helping the staff out over there. We also have the 80s prom, which we help another organization in Parowan do. They're another youth group, and it's just a fundraiser for them to be able to do more volunteer.
Is that things. The Interact Club?
It's the Rotary Youth, yeah.
Yeah.
Interact.
Yeah.
So we help them out with that one. And then Crochet Hearts, we do these typically around Valentine's Day. We'll do them a little bit throughout the year as well. They have little nice messages on them, and we'll leave them in, like, library books or around town so that people can find them. We also have our own hashtag. It's hashtag WeSeeYouIronCounty. It is just to spread kindness and positivity throughout the community, so you can post those if you ever find them. We also have face painting that we do at the Parowan County Fair every year to help raise funds for our own organization, as well as chalk art for Earth Day. And a cake fundraiser, which also helps fund our own club. So we make the cakes, and then we take them, and we sell them. We auction them off. So those are all of our pretty consistent projects right now.
Where do you do the cake fundraiser? Where is that done?
That was the Elks Lodge, it looked like.
Yeah, the Elks Lodge. We had lots of success doing that last year, and we hope to continue. We've done that for a really long time as 4-H, and they continue to support us constantly. So,
put Councilman Phillips down for two cakes this year.
Right?
Which I'll give away.
Yeah, so we just wanted to kind of come here and let you know that we obviously want to continue to keep you guys up to date on everything that we're doing and ask if you guys have any suggestions or any way that you could support us. You don't have to answer right now, but if you just keep us in mind if you ever think of anything that you need us to help with or anything like that.
I do have something in mind.
Yeah.
And I can talk to Sarah or whoever, but for the next year, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Mm-hmm. And I loved your idea of the crochet hearts, but I'd like to do something where we're putting things out there about happy birthday, America, celebrate 250 years. Anyway, I will visit with you about it.
Did you crochet little American flags or something? Right. Little stars?
We do rock art sometimes. That'll be fun. That'll be a good one.
Yeah. We're going to be doing it all year long, and it culminates next 4th of July. It's a big celebration.
Perfect. Okay. We'll definitely keep that in mind. We also wanted to know if you guys had any tips or anything that you could help us with as far as the recycling goes. We're really trying to push that. Right now, we have a hub at the 4-H office that we want to kind of publicize and make sure everyone knows about, but we call it a hub because it's just an area where everyone can drop off their recycling, and then we clean it up and recycle up. We're paying for Recyclops to take it right now. As an organization, we've raised enough funds that we can pay for that. But we wanted your ideas on how to push that through the entirety of the community and make it easily accessible for lots of people. So,
I mean, can you handle? Because one thing we could do, I mean, could we announce that somehow and let people know that there is a place for them to recycle if they want to and go to their location.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're a 501c3 nonprofit, are you not? I mean, through Utah State University, I mean, and 4-H is. I mean, Mayor, couldn't we do a little advertising?
Yeah, you're supporting the group that does pick up in town with customers and takes it.
Yeah, they're paying him to come pick up their recycling.
Will there come a point where you have enough donated that it, the cost equalizes and you don't have to pay them?
I don't know if you get enough product or if you are going to have that.
Yeah, the goal is to get enough sponsors eventually where it's not coming out of our funds.
Right,
and that's the ultimate goal.
Yes.
But you're wanting more people to also recycle beyond the sponsorships, right?
Yes.
It's twofold.
Yeah. Yeah. First, advertising it would be a lot of help.
I think we could get you the publicity, but that also might get you a lot more trash.
That's what I was thinking, is how much trash do you want?
Yeah, our goal is to have as much recycling out of Cedar as possible, and we have like multiple bins in the 4-H office right now that we are willing to put out throughout the community, but we just want to know the best way and most efficient way that you guys thought of to kind of do that and where we could put them. And
well, my wife does it, and she fills at least he does it only every other week. And,
right, same here.
And we have enough for several bins just at our house.
Yeah. So where are the bins at now? They're down, your office is at?
Down by the
By Iron Mission State Park, right?
Yeah, right by the visitor center.
By the visitor center, okay. Mm-hmm. Is that where the bins are now?
Yeah, the bins are by the 4-H office down there right now. And that's the only spot we have bins currently. But we have multiple bins in the 4-H office that aren't being used because we just haven't pushed it out yet, really. So
I'm just thinking out loud, but Sue, what about putting them out during the July Jamboree? I'm sure there'll be lots of plastic that gets thrown in trash cans.
Tin cans.
Talk to Sue.
Plastic only.
Yeah, just make sure there's signs that say plastic only, recycle.
Right, right. Or have someone there.
You're going to get garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there will be a lot.
Or aluminum cans.
And that's okay. Yeah, Recyclops has been really supportive that they don't care how much we get at this point. They just want to support the kids in it as long as we're paying that fee.
I love it.
So we'll start with that. But, yeah, we could start at the July Jamboree. That would be great.
Yeah.
We can put out our.
There's a lot of people in town that would like to do it, can't really afford to do it at their home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why we want to help. Well, we'll start there, and then.
And I think we can get with our PIO officer, and maybe we can do a little just social media blitz to help say, please save the planet, let's do a little recycling. And and since this service is available, let's see what kind of response you get, and then go from there, right?
I'm just spitballing again, but if you had a blockhead, so one person on a block that had the recycling and everyone could bring it, I think you could get some participation, possibly. Anyway, just spitballing again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we discussed neighborhoods and then as well as, like, local companies and businesses. We thought maybe we could get them to pay a small fraction of the fee and have recycling bins actually at their company workplace. That way they didn't have to take them out on their own. They could have the Recyclops do it for them. But, yeah, so we brainstormed ideas, but we wanted to ask you guys first before we do anything.
Those are all very good ideas, actually.
Thank you for getting involved and serving. It really changes the world and changes you while you're doing it. So
I agree. That's awesome. Yeah, we love it. So
that's great.
So as far as next steps and then connecting with you about
America 250?
Should I just email you or set up?
Yeah, you've got my email.
Yeah.
And we'll set up a time to meet and we can talk.
And then if we do have a flyer for the recycling, maybe we can connect about that too.
Mm-hmm.
Just find out. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Great. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Congratulations on all your projects.
Other public comments?
Ann Clark, that was very, very impressive. I just had to stand and thank the city for the wonderful 4th of July parade. My family, all my grandkids come every year, and it's just wonderful. And I was so glad to see that the historic floats made it. I know that's been, you know, they've been working on that, so that would continue. And I just want to tell you, it's just a wonderful thing. Every time I'm there, I think we should get this on the news somewhere and see, so they could see the historic floats that we do anyway. Anyway, I just want to thank everybody. It was great.
And you do know that that's done by the Lions Club.
Is it done by the Lions Club?
Yeah. And there's the historical portion of it. Is I think it's not associated with the Lions Club any longer. The historical portion is a group of individuals who do that on their own. Yeah.
That's why I wanted to thank
you,
because I know that's a lot of work.
Other public comments? Thank you.
Mayor, I have one other thing. I am so sorry I forgot to mention it, but I do want to let people know that I believe Friday is when the banners will go up, but we have a series of banners that are going up in celebration of America 250. And they will have quotes on them, so look at the quotes. They're going to say things like, we the people, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Ask not what your country can do for you. I have a dream. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. There's a whole series of quotes that'll be on banners celebrating America 250 with the logo at the bottom of it. So those are going up this week in celebration of America 250.
Thank you. Thank you for helping us make that a real event this year. Item consent agenda. Item number one, approval of minutes dated June 18th and 25th, 2025. Item number two, approval of bills dated July 1st and 3rd, 2025. Item number three, approve board appointments. Item number four, approve change order number two in the amount of $141,273.88 for the Coal Creek EWP project. Item number five, approve the purchase of a Type 1 tactical tender in the amount of $259,900 from United Build. Item number six, approve AIP 054 award engineering contract to Wolpert.
Yeah.
For runway 2-20.
Mayor, I would move that we approve the consent agenda as read.
Second.
I have a motion second. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item number seven, approve the appointment of Dallin Alcott as the new library director.
So the reason this got taken off the consent agenda was there is a request for you guys to waive the residency requirements. Our personnel policy requires all of your department heads to live within the city limits. Currently, we have one department head that does not. He lived outside the city limits when we passed the policy, and that's Mr. Decker. We didn't want to force him to move out of Parowan, and we want him to stay in our employment, so we made the exception for Mr. Decker when we passed that policy some 8 or 10 years ago. Mr. Alcott lives less than a mile off of 3,000 North, north of 3,000 North. There is some significant county money that also goes to the library every year. He's told us that if he needs to move, he will happily move, but I told him we would request the waiver for him.
Is there a compelling reason to keep the residency in our code? I mean, I know that's a different conversation, but I just don't know that there's a compelling reason in my mind.
In the past, there have been some concerns with ability to respond and be available, especially if something pops up that's unexpected and if they're home an hour away, that's a problem. But where this staff member is, what is it, a mile outside of city limits?
Yeah, 0.7.
Not even. Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us, Paul, what was the reason behind the ordinance change? Because it's not that old of an ordinance.
Well,
when I was hired, I was told I would move into Cedar City limits. I was told if you want a job that has significant responsibility and input into how Cedar City's ran and ability to spend taxpayers' money, you will live in the city limits where that taxpayer money is generated. And that was a directive from the mayor that hired me. That was way before we had the policy, but it sets a good basis for the policy. Your 10 department heads have a significant amount of input. They control their budgets. They spend taxpayer money every day. And that's why we've required residency.
I also would support that. It seems to me that the Cedar City residents who are paying their taxes for those salaries, you have an allegiance to those members of the community as well. So I have no problem with the policy, and I see maybe the merit behind it. But in this case, I don't see this to be an issue for Mr. Alcott.
I would prefer to have a broader zone or a phase-in period, so we don't have to just sell and move. So if we hire them, then they have X amount of time. So
they do.
Gives them a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So walk us through in the past, have there been other situations of we have had people move, we've not been able to hire somebody because they didn't want to move? I mean, what's it been in the past? Can you think of any specific examples?
With your department heads?
Yeah.
We've told them to move into the city.
And they have if they wanted the job.
Pretty much. I don't remember anybody. No, David lives in the city limits. I think we had a leisure service director at one point that wanted to move down to Washington County. We told him no. But he didn't stay in our employment very long. He left for other reasons, but.
Well, and I look at this as, I mean, it's essentially it's a variance to an ordinance. And so the question is do you give a variance or do we change the ordinance? You know, if we have an ordinance. So maybe one thought I've had is these different department. So as far as department heads that are also highly funded by county would be library, your economic development, and potentially fire.
Fire's over 40% of their money comes from outside of Cedar.
So I wonder if we just look at changing the ordinance to say those that are funded by, that are also partially funded by the county should be allowed to live.
The funding's one component of it. The other component that was relayed to me was you need to be able to be in the city where your neighbors live and where you're going to see them at the grocery store or at the theater or wherever you go. And if they want to tell you and give you a piece of their mind about what they think the city's doing, you need to be in a position to avail yourself of that.
I mean, another thought with this would be your mailing address has to be Cedar City. Now that, because I mean, that means, well, what I'm saying is that keeps you in the valley, that keeps you in, you know, that would include your county.
The zip code is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, that would, but that would keep you here. You're not gonna, you can't live in Parowan, you wouldn't live in Washington County, you wouldn't live in Canaraville or New Harmony, you'd be in, you know, Cedar City or one of the, or the
well,
county.
I think he probably lives in an 84720 zip code. Is that
zip,
right?
721.
721.
Yeah, he lives in the same zip code, but again, he's in the county. So.
I just wonder if the value of the things you just mentioned are really worth maybe potentially losing out on quality candidates because of the rigidity of the requirement.
I don't think so, but I mean, if I was applying for a position in a community and I wanted to have the job, I would assume that I would have to live in that community. That's part of the reason I'm taking the job.
But to me, part of this community runs from New Harmony to Enoch. Yeah. I mean, or even Parowan. I mean,
yeah, but I'm not paying taxes in Canaraville. I'm not paying taxes in Parowan.
A job. I mean, they've got to manage it, and the buck stops with the elected officials and other people anyway. So I don't see the value of that ordinance, I guess, as much.
I'm probably leaning a little more towards living in the city because that's the people who voted us into office who make the policy for the city, and living in the city is part of that. So, I mean, I can see Councilman Cox, I can see your side, but I also see that I kind of lean a little more towards how Mr. Bittman was told that this is where he would live if he would take the job. So,
I think it involves just basically the top 12 people in the work for the city, the executive committee.
Well, whether we change the ordinance or not, that's not what's on the agenda.
No, just right, on the agenda is asking to waive it. He's and Dallin's told us he doesn't want to not get hired over this, but I told him I'd make the request.
His wife could get in a new house if you force him to move.
There you go.
Well, one thing, just, you know, knowing how the market's been and stuff, I also feel, though, that I would feel comfortable if we did stick with the requirement that we increase the length from 1 year to maybe a little bit more in hopes that interest rates and a few things to make this not such a...
We can certainly look at that. Again, that is not what's on the agenda tonight.
No, well, but it could be. If we said no to the request... Mm-hmm. Then we could also we could say no to the request with a 2 year or an 18 month requirement for him to move within the city. Could we not do that in the same motion?
Sure. Yeah.
Would you want your CEO of your Chamber of Commerce to live in St. George?
No.
Of course not. I think that's the same with our top personnel. But that's just my opinion.
And I don't know that I'm suggesting St. George would be allowed. I'm saying this community. I think this community is closer knit.
Yeah, as far as the impact on your daily life of the policies that you're dealing with, as far as where you shop, where you socialize, I mean, it is right there. You know, so that's where I...
Well, he is going to have to come here to shop.
Yep.
There's not much. Unless he loves Costco when he drives down there with his
family. In the master plan, I think we had initially discussed having a little commercial corner there where Dan Jessen's house is. So one day when that gets torn down, he can shop there, right?
Yeah.
Other than that, it's... I mean, he's driving through the city every day. I think it'd be a pity to say, hey, you've got to downsize your house because...
Because the market, and you're a mile out of the city limits, and I'm also of the opinion, you know, the ordinance may be more suitable for some in a leadership position than others.
Yeah.
In that specific instance, the county funds a fair share of it, and so we have representation from the county too.
Yeah.
So, I think we could make a.
Something, like we say, can be discussed another day,
right?
Or not.
Well, I'm ready to make a motion if you guys are okay with it. I would move that we do approve the appointment of Dallin Alcott as the new library director. We do not waive the requirement to live within the city limits, but we do extend the time for him to move, I'll say to 18 months, with the understanding that we are going to come back and have another discussion on the ordinance altogether. And at that time, if the ordinance changes, then maybe he won't even have to worry about the 18 months. But for now, it would be the requirement that within 18 months, he'd have to move within the city. That would be my motion.
I do not hear a second.
Nope, not yet. Okay, somebody else want to take a crack at it?
I would approve the appointment of Dallin Alcott as the new library director, providing the variance requested that he be able to live outside the city limits.
So including the variance?
I guess some clarity on the motion. Would this be something in his employment agreement, or would this, I'm just wondering, if he did move in the future, would this be reevaluated?
So... There's no employment contract. He's subject to our policies that we have generally. We would rely on the minutes of this and attach him to his personnel file to show that there was the waiver to let him stay living where he's living.
So just a question on the motion, Councilman Phillips. So your motion is to approve it as it was presented to us?
Correct.
Allowing him to live outside the city limits?
That is my motion.
Okay. Correct.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 As a side note,
any opposed?
No, I'm still going to be aye.
Aye. It's unanimous.
I would like to have a discussion on this. I think
On the ordinance itself.
On the ordinance itself. I think there's some instances where that might be not appropriate today.
We can bring something back.
Okay. Thank you.
Item number 8, consider resolution approving the allotment of RAP tax funds as recommended by the Arts Advisory Board and the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board.
So nothing has changed from last meeting.
And
recommendations are the same.
As we look at this, would you, the way the agenda item is written, so you're asking then that whatever we do here in the terms of a motion would be recommending both arts and parks and recreation as outlined. Is that correct?
You can do them both together. You can split them up if you want.
Yeah, isn't that how we've done it in the past, is done them both together?
Yeah, I just want to make sure there was some question on Parks and Rec, and I'm fine in doing it together. I don't think, from my point of view, there's any issues with the Arts Advisory Board. I think their recommendations are solid, and I think they represented all 22 organizations pretty fairly, but I just didn't know if there was questions on the Parks and Recreation side.
No, I think the same thing. I think that we followed the guidelines that were there, and I also think that the recommendation was what we should do.
Yeah, unless one of us feels like they need to be voted on separately, I just do them together.
So I just have one comment. I guess I have a question as to new players when they come to the field. requesting money, how they are treated versus those who have year after year after year gotten funds. That's the constant feedback I get, is that they can't break into that.
On the art side more, or on the...
On both. As newcomers to the field, and I wonder if we need to relook at how we do those allocations, just personally.
Well, this I can speak to it, at least on the art side, in the last 6 years, I think, that I've been on that committee. We've had a number of new organizations, probably between 5 and 8, that have popped up. And they all pretty much get the same treatment, which is, you know, first we look at, well, is it the proper scope and everything else? And then even if it is a perfect fit for RAPTAX, if it's a brand new organization, they get a very small fraction of their requests the first year. If they show us the next year what they've done with it and that it's within those bounds, then they generally get quite a bit more. And then over time, they get closer and closer to kind of what the other, you know, I would take like the Quilters Guild, for example.
It's, and the Southern Utah Book Festival.
And the Book Festival and IMPAC. And anyway, all of those have gone up and closer to their original ask over time.
Okay. So you're comfortable with that process then?
Mm-hmm. This isn't the first time we've had new groups. The most controversial new group I can remember was the Livestock and Heritage Festival. When they were the new group that came in, and the arts folks at that time, and this was a dozen plus years ago, they did not want them in the arts pool. They couldn't see what was artistic about a bunch of guys in Wranglers and hats.
Well, watch him on a horse swinging a rope. That's very artistic, so, if you ask me, and catch the back legs. I mean,
we had some conversation with them about all the other things that go on at the Livestock and Heritage Festival, the food, the poetry, the church, the cowboy church, the quilting, and everything else that's tied into it. And after that conversation, they've been embraced by that arts group ever since. I think the group that came this year didn't really qualify for RAPTAX.
Are you talking with the
rec? With the rec side, that was the biggest rub.
Well, as we looked through it, they didn't really, and the way in which they, I wouldn't say improperly, but not properly did their application. I don't know that they actually found out exactly how the process worked and why it should or should not work as they came in. And I know one thing that they felt that they were maybe not treated respectfully. I guess when you come and you say, hey, you really don't qualify, I think they took that as, well, geez, we really don't care about your organization at it. We're not going to give you any money. And I don't think that was the way. I didn't hear anybody as I sat through it was disrespectful in any way. I don't know. I thought they were treated very fairly. And no, they didn't at that time. I don't think they qualify for RAPTAX money. So.
And we did take to heart your request last week to work on the applications. So especially on the parks one, it's going to look quite a bit different.
Well, and we might even consider having a planning session where, and they're invited to come to it. And if the people don't show up, they don't show up. But you say, we're going to have a planning meeting to go over the application to understand it. And, you know, and if they don't show up, they don't show up. But that doesn't mean they still can't apply. But you have a little training session.
I think that's a very good thing to do.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, I would move that we approve a resolution allowing the allotment of the RAPTAX as recommended by the Arts Advisory Board and the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Merits resolution.
Or does it have to be
resolution.
Roll call?
Let's call roll call. Scott Phillips.
Aye.
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 It's unanimous. Item number 9, consider an ordinance vacating part of the right-of-way at approximately 400 East and 325 South.
And we're going to kind of talk about 9 and 10 together, right? We'll vote on them separately, but because they kind of are the same thing.
Good evening, Tom Jett. As you might recall, we discussed this item last week. Over on 325 South, it's a dirt road about approximately 400-ish feet long, right directly to the east of 400 East. It's kind of a mouthful when you, around here, it's not just a word. You have to throw all kinds of addresses. And that road is currently 66 feet wide, dedicated. I'm asking the city to please vacate 21 feet of that and make it a 45-foot road and grant myself that remainder parcel that was given at one time when this road was built.
Now, Randall, one point of clarity that I have, because you did mention this last week, if we do this, you want it to be all the way to 400 East, correct? Not just, did you not want us to vacate? I mean, we're not vacating only the piece right in front of his. We're vacating the 21 feet all the way down.
That doesn't make sense.
That would be staff's request if you do that.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us to not have a street run.
I'm just, what we see here doesn't show that. I'm just making sure that's what we're
doing. Yeah, Mr. Jett was not required to make a request on somebody else's behalf, but we as a city, it's our road. So if you want to vacate 21 feet, you can vacate it the whole length.
Okay. So my next question is, in a situation like this, just to make sure I understand, if he was, when he, per the ordinance, without any variances, when he goes to develop his property, the ordinance would say he'd have to go ahead and widen the road just for his piece, right? He doesn't have to widen all the way out to 400 East. It would be just his piece.
So he would be required for his portion to do curb, gutter, sidewalk to centerline plus 12 feet.
Correct.
And then he'd have to do 26 feet wide of asphalt to 400. So that's the access road requirement. You'll see, like, when you head up to the subdivisions up next to the golf course, there's that 26-foot wide. That might be a few feet wider to get into those subdivisions. We require that for anybody to access an improved road. So that part he'd have to do for the remainder is 26 feet wide.
And okay.
So one of the things I struggle with on this, because this is just a bad situation, right? Everybody built their house, nobody built the road, and now we're asking the last person at the end of the road to build the road on their own. And, you know, I do think it'd be a different story if this was a substantial development, like any kind of multifamily or multi, you know, even several homes. It's a little bit different when it's infill and when you're at the end of the road. I wanted to be sure. I had someone reach out after that was watching the meeting last week. They're like, well, you know, why is Tom asking for this? You know, and I was like, well, I'm sure it's cost. And they're like, how much? And so I reached out to an excavator that deals with road improvements and everything else. So to do this what exactly Mr. Jett would be doing, I don't have a number for. But if it were the full length of the road, so if you were doing curb, gutter, sidewalk on both sides to city spec with full asphalt, it's $120,000. And that's a lot to ask for one house. Now, if it's even half that, and I'm not sure, it'd probably be a little more because you got to go past center line. That's still a lot to ask. So I guess the question is, you know, as a city, do we want to just tell people, no, you can't ever build there, or you have to build a $1 million house to justify putting in the road? I don't know. I come from Dogtown, folks, and Mr. Riddle does too. That side of town's always been treated a little different, and I'm sure it. I don't know. The Melling kids probably would have been taken away by Family Services back in the day because I think there were 16.
They were feral.
16.
They were hanging out.
Well, with children. All the boys had to sleep outside because there wasn't enough space. Right? They had four families.
We did
living
that
in
all
house.
Summer long, from house to house, yeah. And your family was involved from house to house.
And you met the girls under the kissing tree. We've heard about it. Right?
That was only if we could sneak out and your mother didn't catch you.
But anyway, so I say that because this is certainly not the norm. And when people are subdividing property for the purpose of selling the property, and to build homes for other folks. We have a lot of standards. But they apply to everybody. The problem is we have here a road where that standard wasn't applied to anyone else that built on it, and now we're asking the one at the end of the street to pay for all of it. And I just don't feel comfortable doing that. So I do think on the, you know, on the vacation, as we talked about last time, we've got the two issues, right? We've got the vacation and the improvements. As far as the vacation, I do think it's important to allocate it all to the one side just so we don't put someone else in a pickle when they pull a permit in the future.
Can I also update you on one thing? And Mr. Jett and I discussed this earlier today. There's a water line.
Mm-hmm. So and I found some additional line. Information on that.
Okay, great. Provide it so I don't say something wrong. Because I know so, I will.
You expect him to give the correct information?
Well, we'll start with that and then we'll go from there.
We were under the assumption the water line was right on property, but it's come to my information that it's about actually 15 feet out into the street off of my property.
And then is that fire hydrant just stubbed in? It's not in line, it's then...
The fire hydrants run a lateral.
There's a lateral, to the fire?
Run a lateral to the main line.
When you talk about the 15 feet off your property, you're talking about your current property prior to the vacation.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it would still be
in the vacation. So has somebody actually gone out and staked that then?
No, but some of the further research that I did, it indicates that that's... And if I'm incorrect here, we will build accordingly and not be building on the water line.
So here's go ahead.
I think you just got to make part of your motion that the water line's got to be located and the city gets to keep a 10-foot easement over the top of the center of the water line.
I agree.
Yeah.
The information that Mr. Jett provided me earlier today was that it was essentially on the property line itself.
Mm-hmm.
Which means normal setback on his property would have put the water line 4 feet from the front of a house, which would obviously be a concern for us. We need at least the 10 feet to work around it.
So he'd have to push his house another 6 feet back.
Right.
So
we will be farther than that from the water line, farther than 10 feet.
Either way, you're either going to be setback or 10 feet, whichever is.
Yes.
So if you go in that direction, we can amend the development agreement to say that any structure would need to be at least 10 feet further south than that water line. That's an easy enough thing to add in.
And then the development agreement as it's written, what does it do as far as, remind me, any kind of, because there's no cul-de-sac here, Hammerhead. I know Mr. Jett and I had mentioned, we had talked about that.
Apologize.
There is, and I did send you kind of a bit of an update, because I know when Mr. Wilkie and I, you and I discussed it, you didn't realize that a cul-de-sac would have been normally required here. This is normally one we would require a full cul-de-sac. So in subsection 3A4, I added the line, instead of the cul-de-sac required by ordinance, and then it talks about the hammerhead. So I did clarify that's what the hammerhead is replacing. By law, that would have been the case, but I clarified that was there. And so the agreement is, as currently drafted, would be an all-weather material hammerhead that's there. I would note that is a little odd. We're doing an all-weather material for the hammerhead, but not all-weather for the road. But that is the way it's drafted. So if you approve it as is, that's what you would get.
And is that hammerhead going to end up, after looking at that drawing, does the hammerhead end up on our property or on his?
So what his proposal was to me today, but that is not on here.
Because if it's not on ours, then how do we even get to our piece? Because essentially if the hammerhead ends before that,
so if we could go back to that picture, please. Thank you. So approximately 12, 14 years ago, the city came to me about a bike trail going. Here's the ravine right here.
Mm-hmm.
And the city came to me and asked me if I'd be willing to work with them on putting a bike trail on the east side of the ravine. And I said, absolutely. I don't look like it, but I believe in active living. And so I donated. I did not sell, but I donated that because my property at one time went over and up that hill a little bit. So I donated that strip of land. And I donated at that same time, Kurt Nielsen, our city engineer, ask if, hey, do you want to go ahead and deed the ravine also to the city? And he said that's what other people had done. And I thought, well, it's no good for anything. I can't use it, and the city will be maintaining it at some point. And then, and so they, so the city did the engineering and the surveying. Well, when everything was all done, there was a little piece that hip-hopped. Originally, well, it wasn't originally there because the property went all the way like this. Somehow, there was a little triangle. It's like 400 square feet got taken out of my property. That's right here. Right now, I currently have a cargo container, and the cargo container was on when he did the surveying of this. And currently, there's a cargo container that sits right here within that 400 square feet. So at some point, I'd like the city to deed that little strip back to me, because I wasn't donating anything on the west side of the ravine. I was strictly donating it on the east side of the ravine.
So your understanding is the property line should be more of where that small dotted line is.
It should be right here. Just, it runs right on the edge of the ravine.
Is that the edge of the ravine, right?
Yeah. And then where the hammerhead is, I'll work with our fire department, our public works department, to put a hammerhead right in this area right here. So that will be used for the fire department, public works, police, general public, whoever chooses to pull in and turn around. And
how about we strike a deal, Mr. Jett? We might consider we'll give you that property back if you do the improvements on the road.
I'm hoping you just do the honorable thing.
I mean, Mr. Jett and I have talked about it. He knows my feelings on this, and I get it. But we have kicked the can down the road on the east side of town forever, and at some point we have to make improvements. So I have no problem with vacating this down to a 45-foot road. That is not my issue at all. It is what comes after that and the improvements necessary. So it's going to be difficult for me to vote because I'm not against the vacating down to the 45-foot, but it's what comes after that.
And I will tell you that I can't do it. It won't pencil out. It will make that property too expensive. It will make the home so there's not even the value in that home to build it. And
then you can put four storage containers on it.
Keep in mind as well, you're always welcome to meet kind of halfway as well.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I had mentioned in my memo, you could just say, I want a 26-foot wide improved double chipped, I think is how Eric Witzke mentioned it. You could put that in there. That's substantially less. You have room. By the time you're waiving something, you can do anything in between as well. You can waive all, defer all, waive, defer parts. That's all within your authority. Sure. It's the same authority.
And what I proposed is when I, well, ultimately I wouldn't like to do anything to it, but I recognize the reality of something. And ultimately, I wouldn't mind putting a single chip in. If the city wants to make it a double chip, then we can just do it in conjunction with the city at the same time. But I'd like this not to go in until this whole, the Heaton in front, on the north side of the Heaton property. So it's all one continuous run, and I'd like to do half, half of the 45-foot road.
But according to the ordinance, you're going to be doing 26 feet in front of the Heaton piece, too, because that's the access.
That's portion. Correct.
Yeah, yeah, if you went according to it, he'd do 26 in front of theirs, 27 in front of his. That's how the math works out.
And I don't
see because he has to do that plus 12.
I don't
12.
See the fairness in me improving their property.
I don't either, but no. I would like – oh, go ahead.
My – and I don't mind the chip seal as much. It's a lot cheaper. Problem I have with that is then the expectation is the city has to maintain it, and I don't want us to maintain a road that's not built to spec. So I'd rather it stays dirt till someone.
It won't bother me if it's from my standpoint. I'll be the last home built on that will have to access this street. The
Heatons will parcel, access it on.
They won't have to access this unless
they
choose.
They access it off 400 east.
Off 400 east, yes.
Most likely, yeah. Especially now that it's wider.
Yeah. I agree with what Councilman Melling has mentioned, but I would like to see you improve it minimally. Chip seal, I actually would like to see you put curb in. As you mentioned, you'd need to do some type of curb, probably a rolled curb right there for your own convenience.
And in all perfect world, I wouldn't, but in the alternative, can I do a roll curb rather than?
I would ask that you do that now. Yeah. If there's a motion that
but
would
I would like to
entertain
do that.
That.
I would really like to do that in conjunction when the Heatons do this whole strip right here, so it's all one continuous project.
I would agree with that, but I need you to get them on board and let's get it done.
Well, they don't even return my phone calls.
I understand.
That could be 20 years. We don't know when they're going to do it.
Very
could
well
be never.
Could be. It might be.
So what if we did...
They're old. Somebody would do something at some point.
So what if we did the chip seal now, including the access part, and then deferred the rolled curb and waived sidewalk altogether?
I'm for waiving the sidewalk. I truly...
Again, and I feel about the side. It's truly a sidewalk that goes to nowhere, goes to his property, and to a ravine. That's how I look at it. I mean... The sidewalks to me is, it doesn't go anywhere.
And when the time comes, I don't have any problem deeding the property back to you, that one portion.
Thank you.
So as I've thought about this, I'm like, okay, is this an exception worthy of an exception? Because once we start doing those, we go down a slippery slope, right? And so then we have to apply it across the board. And so... I agree with Councilman Melling that all those other homes that got put in there, they didn't pony up. They didn't put curb and gutter and street.
No,
now we're asking the last guy in to do that, and I just don't think that is fair.
We just didn't require it back then. I mean, that's to say that we don't do anything now because 50 years ago we didn't do it?
Well, most of the homes probably built right there weren't even... built
well, there's
spec,
curb and gutter on some of it. It's just not all the way.
Yeah, through. Some of it has curb.
Yeah, it has. One it has hit homes. And miss.
Yeah.
But that being said, most of the undeveloped that wasn't required then, it's required now, and it's a whole street worth of people that are putting a street in instead of one. So everyone's going to benefit from this one street, and it's. To me, you have to go back to economics to a certain degree, although we don't make decisions based strictly on economics. But it's going to make this lot, he's not going to put a home there if he has to put $120,000 worth of road in. It's just not going to happen. And so would we rather see it just be there and with weeds and he can go pile junk on it or whatever else? Or put a home on it with this exception because of the circumstances and get a bigger tax base out of it? When I go down that street, I think under the circumstances, it's worthy of an exception.
I do want to also say before we get to the portion of voting, I've spoken with legal. I do have recently leased a piece of property for Mr. Jett, so we do have a business transaction together, but it has nothing to do with this or this area or anything even close, but I do just want to make that publicly known.
He has 2 cows on 2 acres out in the valley.
Yeah, there you go. 3 cows now.
Oh, 3 cows. Rent goes up.
And likewise, I lease a cargo container for the next
2 months,
90 days or so.
Well, I stole a piece of machinery from him that I haven't brought.
Okay, we all got something with you. So.
But he knows where it's at.
You've done nothing for me, Tom. You've done nothing for me.
I literally stole it from him, but he knew. Well, I think 9 and 10 are actually two different.
Yeah, and they are.
And I think that's the way we need to handle them.
Well, with that, I would move that we consider that we approve the ordinance vacating the part of the public right-of-way at approximately 400 East, 325 South, with the understanding that that's all the way to 400 East.
And can I amend your motion so that they are happy that they, and within that, they locate the water line and the city will have a 10-foot easement?
At minimum, from the water.
From the water line, yes.
Yes. Does that work for you? Is that okay?
Can I just clarify? Because the way I drafted the documents for that when the ordinance was, I left blank feet to the north and to the south. So are you doing all 21 feet?
We'll vacate
all 21 feet on one side of the street.
To the south.
Yeah, all 21 feet to the south side of the street.
But leave an access easement for the water main with a 10-foot easement over the water line.
And that would still drive setbacks? Yep. Is that sufficient to drive setbacks?
So that would be my motion.
It kind of depends on where the line's at.
Yeah.
It might not impact the setbacks at all. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you might.
But if it does, then it will push it back. That's the question. Is
right? Yeah, but there needs to be clarity.
If there's not enough room, it will drive the setbacks to ordinance.
Question on the motion?
Yes.
Or on the amendment, excuse me. Does this then imply that the Heatons then just get 21 additional feet of property?
And include the whole street.
Yeah, they get it as well.
And that is the way I draft the resolution. So if you go with the way it's drafted.
Because it wouldn't make sense to only have the back portion of it, the eastern portion, be 21 feet wider. So
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second, starting with Mr. Melling.
Aye.
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 Nay.
4-1. And item number 10, consider a resolution adopting a development agreement to not install public improvements for the property located at 478 East. 325 South.
So have we already discussed this enough?
Well, yeah, but I think we're kind of in different places. I mean, we've discussed
curb and gutter and no sidewalk.
We've discussed curb and gutter. We've discussed sidewalk.
Singular chip
roll
seal.
Curb.
You got to do something about stormwater.
Well, and that is in there.
It is.
The drainage is... I guess my only question on drainage is, you know, I think that language is pretty clear, but I don't know how literal or technical we would get, you know, if basically the only thing that would be draining would be the driveway just because it has to slope. So is a driveway's worth of drainage okay, and do we need to put that in the agreement? I would think that's fine, but...
I mean, that's a good point. Your driveway is going to drain onto the street. How else would it not drain onto the street?
Everything else, all the downspouts, all the landscaping needs to drain away, but I think it'll be tricky to try to get the driveway itself not to.
And just because it elevates off the street right there anyway.
It's I was going to bring my road grader and cut, I'm going to call it, I think they call it a burrow ditch. Borrow ditch?
A borrow ditch.
Borrow ditch.
Borrow ditch. Borrow ditch.
And slope it toward the east, because I went out there, and there is a grade... toward the ditch, toward the squaw, was it you?
Squaw's Cave. Yep.
Squaw Cave trench.
I've been across that property thousands, literally, of times.
Well, I hope you come to my open house.
I will.
The, yeah, but I was going to cut a borrow ditch and slope it toward the, in absence of a gutter.
Because as this development agreement is now, is it would no curb gutter sidewalk ever, and what else? No road ever.
Well, there's double chip.
Does it say yes, it would do double chip?
Yeah, in the agreement.
Oh, owner will install a chip seal road for the width of the property from the south end of the roadway to the south.
Yeah, that's not double. That was a discussion that I had after this drafting.
I think it just says.
It just says it's chip seal road.
Yeah.
So that he could technically then just do a single chip.
So that's more of a deferral.
And that would be on
the road
on the red
on the
else.
Half on the property in front of my property, and half of the 45-foot.
As worded, and again, this is where the technical part comes in. Mr. Jett was requesting that he'd only go to center line. The wording you have before you, I borrowed a little bit of the language from Mr. Fugel, where it would still have the center plus 12. So if you wish to change to what Mr. Jett is asking, please include that in your motion.
Oh, boy.
Actually, hold on. I didn't include that. It is just center.
I thought it was just center.
Mr. Fugel's request that you had a copy of last week. Re-added the 12 feet past.
Can somebody explain what is the difference between single chip and double chip?
Layers.
Just the amount
of
rock?
One layer and two layers. So you lay
the
one, then you oil it again, lay another.
Twice as many chocolate chips.
Well, then I want double. So they re-oil after the first. It's two layers of oil and two layers of chip?
Yes.
Okay.
And again, I wouldn't mind if it just remained dirt. It wouldn't bother me one iota.
Well, I think we know that.
Could I make a comment on that? A single chip seal does not really make a viable, durable driving surface.
Okay.
In my mind, it doesn't make sense to do a single chip seal. You either do a double chip seal or don't do it, because a single chip seal will just break up.
Pothole and be a mess.
Well, and can you plow a single chip, or will it just...
No.
Or would you just come up with the plow, probably?
I'd rather we don't plow it at all.
Huh?
I'd rather we don't plow it at all.
I don't think we will.
Well, then where to trash? Don't they go down that road to pick up trash cans?
Every week.
And we don't plow it now, so they just... They just slosh through the mud. There you go. That's the snow to have mud.
Or rain.
I think there's a somewhere in the middle here, Tom. I think that's why you're seeing that we're all like, there's a compromise. Just
I could make the motion, but
where is the compromise? You've made your motion.
You made the motion.
You made your motion. Now we're trying to figure out what we want to do.
I would make a motion that we adopt a development agreement with these stipulations in it, that when the time comes and we get the Heatons or whoever owns that property at the time that they start to do something with it, develop it, build on it, that we require a double chip seal road and that we require a curb, but that we do not require sidewalk in any way.
Can it be a road curb?
Yes. In my mind, that's fine. The sidewalk is not... I've tried to jump that with my bike in the old days, and it is literally a hazard, your ravine right there. So... That's when I was younger and could pedal.
I got a $1,000 donation to any charity.
We're getting away from the motion.
I know.
So that
was my motion.
So just a couple of questions on the motion, just for clarity. So, and then possibly a friendly amendment. So as of now, nothing would be required. No asphalt, no double chip seal for now. When the other property is developed, he would then have to do the double chip seal road with rolled curb.
Just to the half, not to the half plus 12. Well, that's what we're,
Just to the half, okay. And then do we need to add to our motion at this, where we've kind of gone away from the development agreement as written, do we need to add in the, because we need to discuss that the hammerhead is going
to
happen.
It's already.
Okay. So you're saying accept it as is with only those changes, which would be.
Yes.
And I'll find a hammerhead on the property someplace that the fire department and the public
work. And it will be a hard surface.
Well,
that's what this says.
It'll be a gravel.
Does that count, Randall?
It says all weather.
All weather?
Yeah.
Does gravel count as all weather?
Gravel can.
Yeah, rocks.
Okay.
So you're changing the proposed. Your motion then changes the decision paper on the double chip road. Is that correct?
Him.
For the hard surface?
No, yours would change.
From a single chip road to a double chip road, what are you asking?
Well, the current agreement that we have in our packet that was drafted by Mr. McCune indicates under item 3, owner will install a double chip road from 400 East to the east and the end of the property from the south edge of the roadway to 26 feet from the said south edge. That's what's currently in the development agreement.
That's what's in the memo as an alternative to what's in the agreement. If you look at your screen, that's what Mr. Fugel is showing you. That one is currently worded just as a chip seal road for the width of the property to center line.
That number 3 right here on the screen.
So if I'm understanding the motion, the only thing you're amending on that paragraph 3 is you would say double chip instead of just chip seal.
Yes.
Well, and also?
And the rolled curb. So we would move the curb and gutter from 2 to 3. So 2 is not at all. 3 is put it in when the Heaton property comes in.
Yes.
And the double chip seal for half the street directly in front of my property.
Of your property.
When the Heatons put theirs in.
Yes.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. Any more discussion?
Well, my only thought would, by doing it that way, that to me implies that when the Heatons go to do theirs, we're only going to make them do half the road, too.
That's probably right. We shouldn't make them do their cross the back to the north to do somebody else's property.
And the council at that time would have to make that decision.
Yeah, exactly.
They are not part of this agreement.
Maybe
probably won't be in a month. Yeah, it's true. Could be a month.
But it probably won't be.
The Heatons will lobby to kick us all out of office.
Okay, so you have a motion.
I have a motion and a second, starting with Mr. Riddle.
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Well, you're going to skip me?
Well, yes. I thought you had already voted.
Sorry.
No.
He's
Mr.
deciding.
Mr. Wilkie, you're next.
Excuse me.
I'm deciding.
Okay, sorry.
Nay.
Mr. Phillips?
Nay.
Aye.
Aye. 3-2, it approved.
Thank you very much.
Item number 11, consider an ordinance amending city ordinance 35-10C to establish parking restrictions on 4100 West adjacent to Iron Springs Elementary School.
Don't think we have any questions here.
No, I think this makes
perfect. We're just creating essentially a bus loading zone. We're not creating a no parking zone. We're creating a bus loading zone.
Yeah, did we get any clarity on that language, or do we need to have that language?
Which language are you?
That it's a loading area, not a...
Like, I think that, wasn't it talked about that the signage that would be put up would state that that's what it actually
is? And this isn't under the prohibition subsection. This is under the restriction section.
Oh, I see. Okay, then we're okay.
Yeah, it's already there written that way. Yeah.
Got
it. State statute would also treat them differently based on a bus loading and unloading.
Okay.
And again, I would emphasize for you, this is drafted as one ordinance to cover all three of these items.
Mm.
Our computer overlords are already taking over. The software would not let me do three separate ordinances. So
is really?
If you're okay with all of them, you could just approve them as one ordinance because that's exactly how they'll be signed.
Well, I do have a question, though, on the 861. Is that what you're saying, Mr. McKinnon?
Yes.
Did we clarify, Mr. Fugel, that on the... I got my directions right. As you're turning right on 860 onto 600, there was concern last week of how far that extended to the no parking restrictions.
Yes, and we did look at that, and we shortened that up a fair amount, yes.
All right.
It's from 150 down to 60.
Okay. Then I'm fine.
Oh, yeah. Looks like Ryan has something to say.
Good, Mr.
I just had a question. I know last week there was some discussion on whether the school district was going to paint that and put those signs up or whether we were. I know he's got some timing issues that he wants to get it up in time for school and everything. I don't know if that had been addressed or answered yet.
Well, I asked that question last week, and he said, if you want me to pay for it, we'll pay for it.
Well, I think what we decided, wasn't it, that we would do it originally and they would maintain it. So I thought that's what we came up with.
Well, but is what you're saying
that's
is...
That's what we talked about. So the question is, can that be done?
Can we get it done in time, or do we need
to... I don't know. We'd rely on straight stripes. We'd have to go schedule them and get them up here, and I just don't know if we can get it in what his time frame is. So.
Right, because you got about a month before school starts.
Well, he's going to have to have a contract with somebody as well, right? So
they could hand-paint it, I guess. I don't know.
I mean... I guess the ultimate decision is who wants to pay for it, and if we have to, if they can get to it quicker and we couldn't in time, then they could do it, and we could pay them to do it, I guess.
We could let them.
Well, do we want that part of the motion? That's the question.
I think we do. We need clarification on who does what.
Yeah, is that on all these, all the curbing, all the crosswalks, or is that just on the...
Well, some of it is...
We maintain them after the fact. Is that correct?
Even this bus loading zone, that would be us that would maintain that curb on the bus loading zones?
Yeah, if you put it into ordinance, then we'd be required to maintain that going forward.
You normally maintain those at schools?
It's in the public street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not all the bus loading zones are in the public right-of-way.
And then I guess we would put up the sign. Do we have the access to buy those signs that say bus loading only? Or is
they
that
have
that?
They have the same thing.
So the signs are on them, probably.
So yeah, I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay. Go ahead.
I would move that we adopt an ordinance amending City Ordinance 35-10C to establish parking restrictions on 4000 West adjacent Iron Springs Elementary. There's more, right?
School.
To establish no parking zone in the vicinity of 600 South 860 West, and also to change the length of the no parking zone on... Oh, no, that's a different one.
No.
Well, then I've got to put a caveat in this, the school one. I want the school to pay, due to timing issues of their needs, that they pay for the installation of it the first time, including signage, and then the city will maintain as it usually does on the others. And that we approve the change the length of the no parking zone on Airport Road.
So you've taken three items at the same time?
As was requested by Mr. McCune. Because that's of some
our, that's
computer
our, yeah, that's our software.
It's some software issue.
Anytime it's the same section, it'll only let me have one proposed amendment
that's
running
crazy.
At a time.
I'll second your motion.
Okay, I've got a motion and a second. Starting
Councilman Cox seconded it, right? Okay.
I have a motion and a second, starting with Councilmember Cox.
Aye.
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 So we are at now 14.
Yep.
Consider an ordinance modifying sections 32-2, 32-5, 32-7, and 32-9 pertaining to divisions, subdivisions, property boundary adjustments, warranty bonds, and warranty inspections.
No changes from last week. Again, this is just our best effort to decipher state statute from this year and bring our ordinance into compliance.
And that's really all it does. It doesn't have any financial implications. We're just trying to get in accordance with state statute.
Long term, it doesn't have any financial stuff. Processing, yes. The main one being that warranty bond. We can't request at the beginning. We have to request it later.
No, I understand. Okay.
I make a motion that we adopt the ordinance modifying sections 32-2, 32-5, and 32-7, and 32-9 pertaining to definitions, subdivisions, property boundary adjustments, warranty bonds, and warranty inspections as outlined.
I will second that.
I have a motion and a second, starting with Mr. Wilkie.
Aye.
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 Thank you. Item number 15, consider AIP 054 award bid contract to seal runway 2-20.
Ryan Marshall, Public Works Director. Tyler's not able to make it today, but wanted me to come and represent these two items that he had. First one is this one. We did go back and we looked at we have to sign a master agreement and certs and assurances with the FTA and with the FAA every year. And there's a list of agreements that we have if we're going to accept funding for them to help support our transit, our bus system, and our airport. And when we went back and looked at that, there is a clause in there that says you cannot give a local preferred bidder preference if you're using those funds. So what we're recommending is that you award this to Maxwell Asphalt, who came in as the low bidder, and proceed from there.
Okay. With that, I would move that we approve and award the bid AIP 054 to seal runway 220 to Maxwell Asphalt Incorporated in the amount of $395,777.50.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. Item number 16, consider an ordinance modifying section 26-8-3111-1 and 26-8-2, removal of the requirement that council members sit on the planning commission.
My only question on this is, do we want to future date this so that you can get another person, bring another person on the planning commission first so they can still have numbers?
I'm not going to have anybody there for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, clarification on that. Nothing of what you're passing here removes Mr. Cox. It just simply removes the requirement that a member has to be from the council. It doesn't actually remove him.
Oh, okay.
So until the mayor actually brings somebody
in. So can I amend the...
Don't let him make the motion. He's not allowed to make
I do
motion.
Think, so, yeah.
I think somebody will take care of that in January.
We've had an issue having quorum a couple times, so...
Yeah, so sorry, Mr. Cox. You are still on there unless and until the mayor proposes someone to replace you and the council approves that person.
Okay. But as of, okay.
So that'll give us a minute.
Did you have anything, you weren't here last week, and you are the one who sits on the planning commission. Do you have anything you want to say about this?
No, I think we're the one of the last, if not the last, in the state of Utah that has a voting member on the planning commission. And one, the planning commission, as I understand, is to represent the city and its interests. An elected official has to somewhat listen to public clamor. And so you have these conflicting responsibilities by having the same person on both committees. And so that is probably why no one or hardly any other cities in the state have gone that route, and so I support it. It's not that I might have been on there. It's been interesting to go through that. It's been interesting to come to here with having had that discussion, but I think the application of it is probably a little odd.
You're still on there, though.
Yeah.
But I guess this doesn't also get us around us. We still have the issue, though, while he's on the Planning Commission, that if three of us come to Planning Commission, it makes things a little difficult.
But it's a public meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, attendance makes me squirm a little bit, but it's participation that would cross the line.
Gotcha. Okay. That's my fault.
Well, that said, I would move that we modify the ordinance sections 23.8-1 and 26.8-2, removing the requirement that the council members sit on the Planning Commission.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. It's an ordinance, so we'll go back to Mr. Phillips.
Aye.
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 And item number 17, consider a resolution to amend the consolidated fee schedule.
Ryan Marshall, Public Works Director. Last week there was some discussion on these fee increases if they had been passed through the board. Usually we haven't been passing those. This is part of our regular budgetary process. So we went back, we sent out some emails to all the board members, asked their opinion on this. There were some questions as to how did you come up with the numbers. Tyler went through and he contacted other airports, found out what others are charging. He kind of placed us somewhere in the middle. And then we took a look at it internally to see if it made sense, if it would help support the tenants that we have out there right now and things like that. And that's how he came up with his recommendation. After he went through that with some of the board members, there was no dissenting or negative comments about it. So we would like to propose that the fee schedules that the airport has put in there be approved as stated.
Thank you for following up on that. I just think it's important when we have these, you know, when we have these boards that are supposed to be, what's the word for it? Not suggesting, but what's the word for
recommended?
It? Yeah, recommending. Advisory. That.
This and that's what's a little tricky about the airport one is the airport is made up of a lot of people that have an interest on the airport. And that's specifically why it was written in the ordinance that they don't recommend or they don't vote on fees and schedules and stuff like that. Just but you're correct.
But it's also their industry. For that reason, it's their industry. We don't know if this is normal, if these are, you know.
Yeah. But for them to be aware of it, yes, but the ultimate decision, and we have had recommendations where the council has gone against the board recommendation on fee changes. So,
I would move that we adopt the resolution to amend the consolidated fee schedule as outlined, including the wording under engineering from lot line adjustment to boundary adjustment.
Can I ask one thing? I didn't send you an updated one, but last week we talked about adding the Main Street spider boxes, the electrical boxes, the fee for 100. Can you include that in your motion if you're okay with it?
I'm sorry, you'd have to remind me. I don't remember that.
Spider boxes are the electrical boxes we could put out in Main Street.
Right, but is it on here?
No, that's why I'm asking you to add it in there. Okay. I mentioned it verbally last week.
Okay.
I would add it to one of the exhibits.
Move that we adopt the Main Street electrical box fee of $100 per event to the consolidated fee schedule for 25-26.
And is that per spider? Because there's multiple spider boxes, correct?
No, they get it all. Just
no, they get them all per event.
They get them all.
They get them all. Okay.
That's a good price.
And is the idea, just for clarification, the idea is that's to pay us for the electricity of those boxes. It's not putting those boxes out because they're out permanently, correct?
No, you can move the spider boxes around. You can plug them in, and then it gives you multiple outlets.
My question is the $100 for our staff to go out and place them and move them, or is the $100 to pay for the electricity those boxes use?
Yes.
Both?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. That was my question.
That is my motion, gentlemen.
Second.
We have now a motion and a second on a resolution, starting with Mr. Melling.
Aye.
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 Aye. Mayor, I have one item of personal privilege. We have a youth city council member in the back of the house today, and today is Sarah Allred's birthday, 17th birthday. So just want to wish her a happy birthday
thank
you for being
happy
here.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sarah. Happy birthday to you.
Very good. go.
And with that, Mayor,
I've been here 3.5 years, and I don't think we've ever sang.
Well, there's
city
a
council
well,
your birthday's never
so
landed on a
go.
Meeting now, has
yeah.
it?
Yes, we did.
Mayor, with that, I would we move that we adjourn this meeting.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We're adjourned. Aye.
Happy birthday, Sarah. She walks out and literally gives an acknowledgement. She's just so mad. She's out here with these children.